I'm not sure why I keep on saying tomorrow. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's Mr. Gadgets again. I keep on thinking I'm going to do at least one of these a day, but quite often I've come up with things to talk about a couple of times a day. And so this is the next episode. This will be Dog Days number 11, and we'll continue on this same track we were on in the last show. And so there was this Grateful Dead. There were a few other bands that would actually allow this. Of course, there are innumerable stories about people sneaking recorders into various venues that do not allow recording. For instance, Alison Krauss is extremely harsh in terms of no recording kinds of devices at concerts and things like that. And even Nickel Creek, who Alison Krauss is the producer for Nickel Creek albums, is also very strict. So a lot of bands would strictly prohibit this kind of thing. It's kind of an interesting story, I guess, about the Grateful Dead. Apparently, this is not the only thing about the Grateful Dead that was somewhat unique. The Grateful Dead, I don't know how or when this happened, but the Grateful Dead were kind of a precursor to the modern day, you know, musical acts, in that they had control over their own recording time in the studio. I guess they arranged for this to be cheaper. This is all previous to the point where the digital audio revolution allowed people to have access to recording equipment in their home quite as easily. Although, way back in the 70s and early 80s, I did have access to a lot of recording equipment in the home. And a friend of mine and I had a studio at his apartment that was very capable for a home studio. This is pre-digital. And then even on into the digital age, right? But this is previous to that time when everybody has effectively a great digital audio recorder. It's called that smartphone that's you're probably listening to this podcast in. But the whole idea of having studio time that was not strictly enforced and all that kind of stuff was somewhat unique to the Dead. And also, they had more control than groups typically did in terms of their tour and their income from the tour. Most people who are signed acts, at least back in the day, the record company was making the money off of the tour. Nowadays, with the modern musical acts, the tour is where the money is. And there have been ample kinds of examples of people who will give away music in the form of MP3s and things like that in this frictionless internet world that we have, where there's virtually no cost in terms of giving that away, just to have a following that would then allow them to make money. And those people, because they like their music that they have acquired online, whether they are paid money for it or not, one could argue, I guess, that, you know, the real benefit to the band is in the touring, and so why should the band care about the fact that somebody has copied the CD as long as they hear their music and pay to come to hear them in a concert? There are bands now who are completely independent and are quite successful at this. There's a young man who grew up in the house next door to me that is a very good musician. He happens to be Panamanian and has a big following in the Latino community, and travels all around the Midwest touring and all that kind of thing, and has never been signed to a record label. And probably the most famous one, of course, is Jonathan Colton, who, if you haven't heard some of his music, just go out and Google for it. I'm sure you'll find ample opportunities. Code Monkey's my personal favorite. But Jonathan had a project where he basically quit his business job and published a song a day. I don't think it was a song a day. Song a week for a year, and kind of developed a following. And now he plays concerts at various points. He's no longer doing the song a day thing, but he's got a following. And so, you know, it's all stems back to that thing that I talked about with the newsletters. If you can find the right audience, you can get them to pay you money for very few pieces of paper with the information that you offered that they felt was worthwhile. And so I think that's primarily what we do now in terms of finding the audience. And the publishing is mostly about finding that audience more later.